Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to today's edition of Evangelize for Life with Stephen Glover, evangelist, church planter, and missionary. Stephen is the former National Evangelism Missionary for the North American Mission Board, a former church planter, who holds a master's degree in church planting and evangelism from Liberty University. Stephen has served as a domestic missionary for over 12 years, and evangelism is something he does every day. Now here's your host, Stephen Glover.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome again to Evangelize for Life. Thanks for joining your host, Stephen Glover. So glad you're with us today. And again, we've got a very exciting topic, and many of you who have watched and have been watching the news this weekend, you saw that Mitt Romney was the commencement speaker at Liberty University. The thing about that makes it so controversial is that many of you are aware that Mitt Romney is a Mormon. And so we're going to get into, and as discussed last week, that we're going to look at the topic of Mormonism and what it believes, and the founder, Joseph Smith, and those who came behind him. But before we do, let's open up in a word of prayer. Lord, again, we just thank you. Thank you and praise you for that this is the day that you have made, and Lord, we're able to rejoice in it. You tell us, Lord, that there is another gospel, there is a spirit of error, there is a spirit of truth, and Lord, we are to expose that which is not of God and that which is a lie. So we pray that, Father, today as we examine your word and as we compare it to the teachings of Mormonism, we ask that, Father, number one, we are not attempting to argue, but we are attempting to enlighten, and that, Father, someone may come to know Jesus Christ because of our discussion, because of the information presented today. Be glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned that Mitt Romney was the commencement speaker there at Liberty University, and as you heard in the introduction, that is my wife and my alma mater, and just recently, this is a quote from Liberty's website that was just posted today. And it says this, and this is the worldview that Liberty promotes. An uncompromising doctrinal statement based upon an inerrant Bible, a Christian worldview beginning with the belief in biblical creationism, and an eschatological belief in the premillennial pre-tribulation coming of Christ for all his church, dedicated to world evangelism, an absolute repudiation of political correctness, a strong commitment to political conservatism, total rejection of socialism, and firm support of America's economic system of free enterprise. Now, this comes directly from Liberty's website, their website that posted this doctrinal statement. But the thing is that this was a political move by Liberty University and its leadership. Now, I have some comments from some of the students who were aware of this. One guy said, as I graduated, I would have to say that I was disappointed in the way that they put Mitt Romney on the pedestal and actually made the statement that he was the next president of the United States. Now, this is a gentleman who was there at the commencement ceremony. And this is what his response is to what went on there. The chancellor announced that Liberty does not endorse any candidate, but that is absolutely opposite of the statements that were made. I felt like Mr. DeMoss should have went home with Mr. Romney. My question concerns the statement that Dr. Farwell and Mr. DeMoss made when they both stated that Mitt Romney had the same principles as Liberty University. How can that be, he asked. Politics should have never been a part of the 2012 commencement at Liberty. but it became an endorsement of Mitt Romney in the end. He says, I enjoyed Dr. Palau. That was a seminary, had their commencement ceremony Friday night, and the rest of the programs were outstanding. I will be a flame until the end. So clearly, here's a student who sat there and listened to the outright support of Mitt Romney, and they're trying to bring the two together, whereas clearly their doctoral statement and clearly the beliefs of Liberty University have said, and even Jonathan Falwell in one of his books, I have one here called Innovate Church, clearly denounces Mormonism as a cult. He denounces Mormonism as a cult because Mormonism is polytheistic, meaning that they believe that in a multitude of gods. And if you know anything about Mormonism, and we're not going to have time today to get into all the details about Mormonism. Actually, I'm going to leave that for tomorrow, but we'll look at their doctrinal beliefs. Today, we'll just cover what Joseph Smith and his founding of the Mormonism faith, some of the things that occurred in his life before it began, before Mormonism began. But the thing about Mormonism, and I mentioned that it was a polytheistic, Christianity is monotheistic, is that the doctrine of the Mormon Church is that there are a multitude of, well, there is a God, Father God, and there's a Heavenly Mother. And God and his wife produce spiritual children who live with them in the pre-existence. So they're having these spiritual children before they enter into the bodies of human beings when they're born into the world. They pre-exist, and they live with this God and his wife on a star called Kolob. And you find this in Abraham 3:3 in the Pearl of Great Price. Now, the thing about the teaching of the Mormon Church, that all human beings, according to the LDS teaching, are children of these heavenly parents and live with them in the first estate before being born physically to human parents on the earth. So this is what the Mormon Church teaches. It also teaches that two of God's sons desire to be savior of the earth, Jesus and his spiritual brother Lucifer. So when you just hear the tip of the iceberg of this, how can Mitt Romney and how can Jonathan Falwell or Mr. DeMoss or just Liberty University as a whole have anything in common with this teaching when it's clearly in opposition to Scripture? Now, we're going to get into what Joseph Smith, what was revealed to him by an angel, but I want you to listen to what Galatians 1, verse 6 down to verse 9 says. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. Now, I can quote to you clearly. This is from another leader. His name is Gordon D. Hickley. This was in 1998. He's a Mormon prophet, and we're going to get into what a Mormon prophet is. But he confessed that he believed in a different Jesus than the traditional Christ worshipped by the outside of the Latter-day Saints Church. He explained, the traditional Christ of whom they speak is not the Christ of whom I speak. This is found in the Latter-day Saints Church News, June 20th, 1998. So clearly, here's a Mormon leader that says that this is not the same Jesus. We do not worship the same Jesus. Isaiah 43, verse 10 says that every other god is false. We talked about previously that Mitt Romney is identified in Scripture as an antichrist. He's identified as being a curse. And so clearly we're talking about two different gods. There's only one true God, and here's a false God that they have aligned themselves with. Now, continuing in verse 7, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. And that is what we're reading, and that is what you're going to learn, is that this is a distortion and this is a lie. This is a deception. And clearly the Bible teaches who's the father of lies, who's the deceiver. As we get into our study, you'll find that Joseph Smith, that an angel appeared to him in a dream, appeared to him at night at the end of his bed, and gave him and told him that he was to form, not to join a false church, because all the churches were false, but he was the founder of this new teaching. And so clearly, not only is the Bible tells us that Satan masquerades as an angel of light, but so do his disciples. And that's what clearly Mitt Romney is clearly planning or perpetuating the myth that he is a follower of Jesus Christ, but he, again, serves a different gospel. Verse 8 of chapter 1 of Galatians. And Paul is warning this church. He does the same with the church in Corinth. Verse 8. But even though we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you another gospel. Now remember, I mentioned that an angel appeared to Joseph Smith. An angel appeared to Mary Baker Eddy. An angel appeared to Muhammad. So Satan has been very active in appearing to people and having them write down another gospel that is contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ that we read in Scripture. He says in verse 8, but even though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed, anathema, let him be damned. Verse 9, as we have said before, so I say again, now if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you have received, let him be accursed. God clearly emphasizes judgment, curse, damnation on those who preach another gospel. Here's another quote from a Liberty student. He says, and in reply to someone, he says, David, I agree with you. For several weeks now, I've spoken out here and on other social media venues. The choice of Mr. Romney as commencement speaker was an absolute political move by the administration, Gary Jr., Jonathan, and whoever else has input into this poor, decisive choice. People can rationalize this choice anyway. It is very clear Mr. Romney is from a radically different church, and in fact, both the seminary and the religion have textbooks written by Jonathan Falwell and others denouncing the Mormon faith as being a cause. Nothing has changed here except the ability of the leadership of Liberty to be consistent in their values and choices. He says, it is very sad. Actually, this is a quote from published today from the Washington Examiner. And so very clearly, even the Washington Examiner and some of its readers or those who are writing comments understand that this is a political move and that this particular candidate, Mr. Romney, Governor Romney, represents a different church. And from out of, as I read earlier, out of the mouth of their own elder or leader within the church, they promote a different gospel. Now, what is this church and its origin and its foundation, and where did it all begin? Well, understand that though we know it as the Mormon Church, it is actually called the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You see the commercials. They present themselves as Christian, as godly, as American. Now, many of you don't know, and I didn't get into this, but we'll talk more about it later, is that according to the teaching of the Mormon Church, or teaching of the Book of Mormon, that the war that took place, because I mentioned earlier that Jesus and his brother, quote-unquote, according to the Mormon Church, his brother Lucifer, there was a war. Those who were faithful resided there, and those who were unfaithful were cast down as demons. They were turned into demons, and then eventually they were cursed with dark skin. So any African-American cannot reach or hold a certain position within the Mormon Church because based on their theology that they were accursed because they sided with Lucifer and they were cursed with dark skin. Now that's the teaching of the Mormon Church. So just give me a little background as to what we're dealing with here. So the official name of the organization is called the Church of Jesus Christ and Latter-day Saints. It was officially, I guess, organized in Fayette, North New York in 1830, where it began with six charter members, and Joseph Smith was the founder. Joseph Smith, who was born in 1805, died in 1844. And we'll get to how he died. He was killed because of a revolt that he had. So we'll get to that in a minute. But he was revered as a prophet. He was revered as a seer and as a revelator. Now, Latter-day Saints, and I'm going to try to lay this thing out as much as I can so that we can build a foundation so that when we get into this tomorrow, you'll be able to understand what the Mormon Church, its origin, foundation, and what it actually believed, and where all the information came from. So the Latter-day Saints regard their scriptures as primary source for authority in doctrine and practice. Okay, so they accept the King James Version, yet they also have additional books, the Book of the Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenant, Pearl of Great Price. Now, you guys know that in Revelation chapter 22, clearly Scripture says if anyone adds to or takes away from the Scripture, the writings of this book, the Bible, it says again that the curses that are written in the Book of Revelation will be upon them. So here you've got the Book of Mormon, Doctrine of Covenant, the Pearl of Great Price, and many of these books, when they knock on your door, they will bring these particular teachings. Now, in addition, the headquarters of the Church of Latter-day Saints currently is in Salt Lake City, and that's in Utah. And they claim to have continuing sessions of true and living prophets who can receive new revelations from God. So they still receive revelations or interpretations from God. And that makes sense, because the Book of Mormon, quote-unquote, that was interpreted by Joseph Smith has been edited over 4,000 times, similar to the Jehovah Witnesses who have to continue to edit and to revise their prophecies. So the Mormon prophet also serves as church president and has two counselors who hold the office of the apostle. So you've got two assistants. The Latter-day Saints Church is governed by general authorities, including 12 other living apostles, because they claim to function as the original apostles in the Bible. Now, we know they're not the living apostles in the Bible. Clearly, we know that they perished, and that John was the only one that was able in the Isle of Patmos that wrote the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Book of Revelation, but he eventually died. Okay? And clearly the Bible in the Book of Revelation talks about the pillars, the foundation that will be built upon the apostles. But the original apostles are gone. They perish. So these men serving in office of 70s also function as leaders. Now, regional leaders, they have regional leaders known as state presidents, and they oversee the bishops, who function as ministers or pastors of local churches called wards. Now, it's important that we know this, because if Mitt Romney gets in office, which I doubt, because Henry Kissinger said that President Obama was primed to bring about the one world government, I would not doubt the possibility of maybe him eventually getting a position in the government to come. But we see that we need to know these things about this Mormon church, because it's going to become actually being pushed to the forefront, because we see that as President Obama has softened his stance and has encouraged a lot of the Islamic philosophies and practices, we see, and more likely that we're going to see the same thing coming from the Mormon church. Mormon church is the fastest growing religion in history. They've got 53,000 full-time missionaries and 13 million members in over 170 countries and territories as of 2007. So this was 5 years ago. And so obviously there are probably more missionaries, and there's probably more territories and countries that they've entered into. Now, the thing we got to understand is that with this acceptance of this Mormonism, with this promotion of Mormonism pretty much at Liberty University, you'll probably have people who will support the Mormon Church because of the fact that they have been associated with a fundamental conservative university. Now that we're seeing that it may become even more mainstream, more than what it is already. Now, the thing about Joseph Smith, and we only have a few minutes left. If you would like to join or call in, please call 646-200-4203. 646-200-4203. Now, Joseph Smith claimed in 1820 that he received his first vision at the age of 14 when God the Father and Jesus Christ both appeared to him in a sacred grove of trees near his home in Palmyra, New York. Now, the thing that Smith wanted to know is what church to join. He wanted to join a church. Christ wanted him to join none of the churches because they were all wrong. The creeds were abomination according to the Mormon teaching. According to God, in his sight, they were all corrupt. So what happened is that he discovered that there was a total apostasy. And shortly after the death of the original apostle, so the whole church, according to Joseph Smith, had become apostate after the death of the apostles. Now, that's not what we read in Scripture, because we see that the church continued to spread. And there are plenty of historical, both biblical and secular historians who wrote about the growth of the church. There had been no true Christianity, according to Joseph Smith, for 1,700 years. So no true authority act for God or to perform essential sacred ordinances. So in 1830, Smith published a new scripture, the Book of Mormon, which he allegedly translated from these sacred golden plates or tablets revealed to him and unearthed from a hill near his home in Palmyra. Now, we're not going to cover this today, but the Library of Congress revealed that he did not know the Egyptian language, nor he was proven to be found guilty of perjury. He also had a history of treasure hunting. That was his profession before he became a prophet. So, according to Smith, an angel named Moroni appeared in his bedroom in 1823. And Moroni had been a prophet of God living in North America. Smith learned that a Jewish man named Lehi and his extended family had fled Jerusalem in a ship about 600 before B.C., eventually landing somewhere in Central America. Now, in the centuries that followed, these Jewish people multiplied and became two nations, Neophytes and the Lamanites. Now, this is the thing. There's no record of any of this. There's no historical record recorded anywhere of these things taking place, America or anywhere else. The Book of Mormon records that after years of welfare, the Lamanites then became the principal ancestors of the Native American Indians. This is why Glenn Beck, a couple years ago, began his sermon there down in Washington, D.C., by saying that the Native Americans were the original Jews. These Native Americans exterminated the Neophytes. The last living Neophyte was the prophet Moroni, who was killed about A.D. 325. But before his death, Moroni supposedly buried the scriptures of his people or the golden plate. So he buried these particular scriptures. And so in 1823, here comes this angel, appears to Smith in his bedroom, and authorized him to recover the plate and translate their contents, which were said to be written in Reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics. Okay. But the thing is, even regarding the Native Americans, the DNA studies have revealed that the Native Americans are Northeast Asian descent, and they're not Jewish. The Book of Mormon was later supplemented by two other volumes of sacred texts, Doctrine and Covenant, also known as the DNC, and the Pearl of Great Price. DNC is largely the collection of prophecies received by Joseph Smith, and much of the Pearl of Great Price is purported to be translated from Egyptian documents that Smith purchased along with some mummies from traveling people who sold antiques in Kirkland, Ohio. Now, he claimed that one of the scrolls contains the actual handwriting of Abraham from the book of Genesis, and Smith supposedly translated this papyrus document into the book of Abraham, which is part of the Pearl of Great Price, because I quoted that earlier. No one else could translate the document because the language had been lost. Now, the Library of Congress, where anyone has access to it, revealed that again, Joseph Smith didn't speak any languages. He did not have ability to translate any document. Now, discovery, according to the Mormon teaching, of a Rosetta Stone made it possible for Joseph Smith to figure out how to translate ancient Egyptian text. Now, this same document that we're talking about here was rediscovered, and this was verified by the LDS Church in 1967. It's currently in the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York. And again, they validated it in 1967, the Mormon Church did. The text is actually part of the Egyptian Book of the Dead, and it has nothing to do with Abraham or Genesis. Now, you're beginning to see why he would be found guilty of perjury by the Library of Congress, or during a trial. They just recorded it as a record of it. But the trial, when he was put on trial, he was found guilty of perjury. Now, Egyptologists acknowledge that Joseph Smith did not correctly translate not one word of the text. So here he's claiming to have translated the whole Book of Mormon from this particular papyrus document, but clearly he could not translate not one word from that particular text. So in 1843, Smith received a revelation authorizing him to engage in plural marriages. Now, according to the Mormon scripture, section 132 of Doctrine and Covenant, Smith is beginning to implement polygamy. But it's also a historic record that records that Smith in 1831 had already been sexually involved with women other than his wife. His wife's name was Emma, long before this revelation was written. So he claims to have a revelation and implements this in the Mormon teaching that you can have a multitude of wives, even though he was already involved with a number of particular women other than his wife. And now what happened is 1844, criticism of Smith by a newspaper led to him forming a group to oppose this article, and he and his brother were in prison. While they were in prison, a mob formed, rushed to jail, and murdered both Joseph Smith and his brother Hiram. Now, taking over from Joseph Smith was Brigham Young. Brigham Young was one of the original 12, and he eventually led them to Salt Lake City. Young became governor of the territory of Utah, and polygamy was openly practiced for the first time. He taught that the first man, Adam, was our father, and only God with whom we had to do. Now, eventually, after his death, this was repudiated by the LDS Church. Young had 27 wives in 1877. The church discontinued the principle of plural wives. Now, we'll get into more of our discussion tomorrow. We'll actually get into what the actual doctrine and teachings of the Mormon Church. So we appreciate you again joining us tomorrow as we continue to reveal this deception that is practiced by not only Mitt Romney, not only by Glenn Beck, but also by all the individuals who are members of the Mormon Church. Thank you again for joining us for Evangelize. Bless you and keep you. And may he allow his grace and his face to shine upon you.